We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're reacting to week 13 of NFL action on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We are two of the owners here at RotoViz, ready to break down some Week 13 action. We just pulled a very fun stat that I'm looking forward to sharing with everybody. Monday Night Football is going on. Playoffs are here for many people. Curtis, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Speaking of playoffs, this is just such a critical time. As we're recording this, but it's, you know, before people are listening tomorrow and all of this have been settled, so many fantasy playoff berths are going to be decided tonight in this Buffalo New England game. I know you and I have a matchup we're watching closely on our Team RotoViz main event. One of these teams, we just need Buffalo's defense to basically not score a touchdown, and we're going to advance the team through to the final. You and I fell just less than 3 points short in our Football Guys Championship team. We scored 177 points, Dave, and we lost in the semifinal. This is brutal.
It was brutal.
That's a tough spot. But then, you know, we've got all these fun best ball tournaments that, you know, RotoViz partnering with some key sites like the FFPC, and I've got a couple really high performing best ball tournament teams, Dave, that I'm excited about. As recently as like week 12, I had a team that was like, not that it matters because of format, but was like top 10 in overall scoring year to date.
Yep.
So we've got some live ones, and you and I were just talking about our underdog portfolios too. And it looks like we're both going to have some live bullets there. So it's a fun time of the season. It's also a bittersweet time for those rosters that, you know, finally see taps played. But let's break down week 13 because that's what we're here to do tonight.
All right, Curtis, give me your player of the week.
The player of the week. We're going to the tight end position. These are the men among men at the skill player positions, Dave. And George Mother Effin Kittle. Holy smokes. I mean, he just totally put himself back on the fantasy map after a really frustrating season in San Francisco where Deebo Samuel and Elijah Mitchell had been the headliners. George Kittle said, "I'm here too." And he had 12 targets, 9 receptions for 181 receiving yards, a pair of receiving touchdowns, and even got a rushing attempt, the rare George Kittle rushing attempt. He scored 39.6 PPR pending Monday Night Football results. Highest overall score for the week, Dave. And we just did some deep research in the last 22 seasons. Let's tell the listeners how impressive this season was.
This game was the 10th highest total since the year 2000 among tight ends. This now actually puts George Kittle with two performances inside the top 10 of the last 22 seasons with the likes of Antonio Gates and Rob Gronkowski, Shannon Sharp, studs.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the positional advantage that he provided this week, it's just hard to match that. So a great name to highlight, was a little worried George Kittle would never be on the short list of names that would be in player of the week considerations. but you know, he clearly has corrected us on that. And Deebo Samuel being out, you know, may have fed into this opportunity. So we'll have to continue to monitor it. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum, Dave. Who's your snoozer of the week?
A name that one does not say all that often when talking about bad performances, and that is Tyreek Hill, who really hurts, coming in with a total, Curtis, of just 2 receptions and 22 yards, landing him in 4-point territory. In the last 3 seasons, he has only gone under 10 points in 13% of games. So something that does not happen very often. Unfortunately, for a lot of fantasy teams, it happened in a very, very critical week. So Tyreek Hill, snoozer of the week. My final thing I will say here is, listen, if your team lost this week, if you're out of it now, take a couple of deep breaths and move on. Everything's going to be fine. There's always next year. We're going to get back into this thing next year, win some championships. All right, let's hit some game notes. I wanted to start in Atlanta. I was curious, Curtis, as to how different this year has been for Matt Ryan in comparison to 2018 through 2020. So pulled some numbers here. In terms of fantasy scoring, he's dropped from 22.6 per game to 17.5. Passing attempts have only gone down from 39.3 to 36.18. Completions in lockstep, 26.3 to 23.7. Touchdowns, though, per game have dropped from 1.85 to 1.64. Passing yards have dropped from 297 to 237. Obviously, there's a couple of things going on here. Julio Jones not on the team anymore. His best option this year, Calvin Ridley, has been absent for large chunks of the season. And that is clearly playing into this. But another thing that's a little bit concerning about fantasy managers that have invested in pieces of this Falcons offense in wide receiver or tight ends is the fact that only 10 touchdowns this year for Ryan have gone to wide receivers or tight ends. You have Cordarrelle Patterson racking up 5 of Ryan's passing touchdowns. Mike Davis also has 1. That's a pretty surprising number to see. And yes, like I said, Ridley's not there, so that's bringing down some of these numbers. But I do think that if I am someone that has Calvin Ridley or Kyle Pitts on my team, I'm not feeling too great about how things are looking for Atlanta. I'm not feeling too warm and fuzzy about things moving ahead. So I think that I kind of bring this up as this is one of those teams that we're going to have to do a deep dive into in the offseason. We have a little bit more information on where some of these pieces might fall out, see how they address things in the draft. But I think definitely a team that is not trending in a right direction, especially for a team that for a while was one you could count on to get some pretty interesting fantasy players on your team.
Yeah, that team, you know, I know they had visions of establishing a power running attack. And I mean, just everything about this season has been kind of probably off, I don't know, the top 5 scripts of what you would have thought would happen in Atlanta, from injuries and the mental health issues with Calvin Ridley and Arthur Smith, and really not, I mean, noted tight end position coach turned offensive coordinator turned head coach not being able to utilize the tight end.
Yes.
and this offense, I mean, yeah, there's probably layers. I would not be surprised to see more of a reboot with the team letting Arthur Smith invest in some pieces that support, you know, the type of offense that he would want to play moving forward. So very, very notable to highlight this squad, you know, for fantasy playoff purposes or for deep, I guess, dynasty claims toward the end of the season in like the just in case file. Yep. Russell Gage had been kicked to the curb in a lot of redraft leagues. He, you know, has reemerged as you know, a flex worthy player. I think your boy Olamide Zaccheaus is probably maybe roster worthy, deeper dynasty, not FFPC style, but deeper dynasty. And you know, other than that, it'll be interesting to see if Cordarrelle Patterson can finish the season as a mid RB1 maybe. That's probably the coolest thing about Atlanta, you know, back to back now games with at least 78 rushing yards for CPAT. And you know, he's got what, four games with 60 or more receiving yards this season. I mean, he's really been kind of a do-it-all guy and racking up the touchdown. So let's head over to the AFC.
Yep.
And we've talked about this team probably every two or three weeks, but for good reason, because people thought this team was going to be the key to fantasy titles, you know, yet again. And in some ways they will be, and in other ways, they definitely won't be. Got a lot of problems with you people out in Kansas City. And this is a little bit of an airing of grievances, Dave. This is nuts. I've just never seen, I mean, it's like a star collapsing on itself. I mean, dating back to week 7, the Chiefs scored 3 points against Tennessee. 3. They follow that up with 20 against the New York Giants, just 13 against the Packers. They did manage 41 against Las Vegas, but then they followed that with 19 and 22 against the Cowboys and the Broncos. And this 22 spot against the Broncos is coming off a bye week against a divisional opponent that you know well and should be able to exploit. Something is very broken. Something is very broken and is concerning. And unfortunately, even though there was a hot start in Kansas City from a point scoring perspective, not necessarily from a team performance perspective, but we saw typical KC stuff those first 6 weeks in terms of scoring. I mean, this is all happening at the worst possible time of the calendar. They've got two more division games, and then they're gonna face a Pittsburgh Steelers team in week 16 that's probably going to be still hanging on for their playoff lives and, you know, just put up an awesome performance against the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, you got to start your Chiefs, especially Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, Dave. But beyond that, I mean, it's like you got to raise your eyebrows and just wonder, like, do you stream quarterback above Patrick Mahomes in these crucial games on the fantasy calendar? And even with CEH being healthier, are you willing to put him in there? I mean, this is just an absolutely brutal turn of events. And I feel bad for those depending so heavily on the Chiefs. Luckily, Kelce and Hill have not hurt you to this point. But now we've even seen that, you know, Tyreek can't even escape the wrath of Mahomes sucking right now. So anything you want to add?
Well, I mean, I guess the thing that I'll say here, too, is just making this team even odder has just been like the way in which Tyreek Hill has like bounced back and forth each week. Like if you go and you just look in the player stat explorer, he'll have like a really solid game, then two very down weeks, really solid game, down weeks. Just not like if you look at this chart, not what you expect from a player that's on what is supposed to be the premier offense in the league. And I think that one thing that really demonstrates how much this team has struggled in comparison to expectations is with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, part of why he was alluring in the beginning of the season was just because this offense was so good that would have to generate points. Now, honestly, it feels like unless you have one of the absolute best backs in the league, this running back position, like in that offense, like unless you took like, you know, like Christian McCaffrey and put him in that backfield, whoever's playing there isn't a lock really for any great type of opportunity with the way things have gone this year. So it is a bit of a mess, I feel like, is how most people that invested in Chiefs are looking at this year. And it will be interesting to see what people start to do with Mahomes as we move forward, because that perceived advantage you might have thought you were getting from him does not appear to be there.
Just using our one last point here, because I want to use a tool that we don't talk a lot about on the show, and it's underutilized compared to its very famous sister. I'm talking about the Team Splits app. The Team Splits app, not as famous as our Game Splits app, which focuses on players, but the Team Splits app does the same exact thing. And I'm looking at, now this does not have our week 13 results in it. So it's through week 12 and the five games, including week seven, versus the first six games of the season, the Chiefs are scoring 11.6 fewer points per game. They're averaging just 19.2 points per game. That's not that average is not going to really change after scoring 22 against Denver. The first six games of the season, they averaged nearly 31 points per game. They were averaging 3.14 points per drive through the first 6 weeks of the season, just 1.79 points per drive since. You know, what's interesting too is their points against have changed. Like, it's just a totally different game script for this team. Their defense couldn't stop anybody the first 6 weeks of the season. They're allowing 29 points a game, but they're only allowing 14.8 per game since. It's like they went from a high-flying, can't stop anybody, game script to a, it's like all of a sudden a ball control, you know, slow it down, 1994 type team model, but they don't have any of the right players to play that type of football. So let's go back to the NFC. Cause like, honestly, I just want to puke talking about this.
Okay. All right.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah, the next team I wanted to talk about, and what I was trying to do this week was grab some players or some teams that we have not talked about too much recently. So I wanted to pop back over to Seattle. Obviously, we saw Russell Wilson miss some time a couple weeks back. So one thing I wanted to look at was since 2018 to 2021, what has been the impact on the team? I actually used that Team Splits app in getting ready for the show this week. So I was looking at how the team did differently with him in or out of the game. Points for dropped from 25.71 to 20.33. Points per drive dropped from 2.24 to 1.81. Passing touchdowns dropped from 2.12 to 1.33. Yards go from 245 to 190. So that's a pretty material difference. In terms of the two wide receivers on the team this year, I know some have called DK Metcalf a bit of a disappointment. Tyler Lockett got off to a great start, had some down stretches. Hopefully having Wilson there for the rest of the season will help things out. But I'm curious, Curtis, it's like, what you think of Metcalf. He had 11 PPR in week 13 on the year. He's put up four wide receiver one performances. So 36% of games has been a wide receiver one. Heading into the week, ranked 22 in PPR per game, 38 in expected points per game, but 10 in fantasy points over expectation per game. Is fifth in total touchdowns, which is kind of surprising when you see him only coming in at 22. So I think that some might consider this a bit of a down year for both of these guys. Maybe you could blame some of that on the three games that they did not have Russell. But do you think that is as disappointing as it what seems to be the consensus out there on the Twitter sphere?
Yeah, it's super disappointing. You know, the team went out and they changed their offensive coordinator. They bring in Shane Waldron from LA, who's supposed to have been, you know, McVay disciple out of the school of Shanahan, basically. And, you know, it just hasn't worked. I mean, a lot's gone wrong in Seattle. It's not like DK Metcalf's fault. But, I mean, Russ has been injured. They haven't unleashed him. They didn't have Chris Carson, and they've had basically no running game all year. And even though they were supposed to transition to a much more balanced attack from a passing game perspective, it seems like Carroll won that argument over Shane Waldron. And even though they don't have the right personnel to play the way they've always played under Carroll, they're still forcing it. It reminds me a lot of those first few seasons after Marshawn Lynch before we had Chris Carson. And Seattle's offense struggled very similarly at that time. And, you know, I think DK Metcalf from a dynasty perspective, maybe there's going to be a slight window to buy, not at like a super deep discount because, you know, I think people are savvy, but compared to his pre-2021 pricing where he was nearly untouchable, there may be an opportunity here. Pete Carroll is 70 years old and the team is going to post one of their worst performances that I can remember. I can't remember them ever playing this poorly. I don't actually know what their worst record is in the Carroll era, but this may be this is definitely either on a short list or potentially trending towards being the worst season he's ever had. And so it's, you know, is Russ still going to be there or is he going to be jettisoned and, you know, the team reinvest under Carroll and let him try to build again, as old as he is. So, potential for a lot of upheaval in Seattle after the season, and that would benefit DK for sure. It's a little frustrating to me that they haven't been able to prop up both of those star receivers. Lockett keeps having, you know, splash games. He's kind of returned to pre-2020 form where he's been less consistent again. And you would just think between the two talents here, how could they not be forcing each one of these guys at least 8 targets a game just to see what happens? It's just so disappointing. I feel like anybody on Twitter that plays a lot of fantasy or any Madden player, you know, could scheme an offense that would A, work better on the field and then B, yield better fantasy results. Another sickeningly bad situation for fantasy this season.
Yeah, frustrating is exactly the entire feeling that you have when watching this team, knowing that they have three extremely talented players that aren't always getting to show off just how talented they are. Will be interesting to see how things shake out there. And I agree with what you said about Metcalf there. So hopefully next year, Seattle is able to, or these players on this team are able to be positioned for a more exciting season. What else do you have for us back in the AFC?
Well, let's go up to New York and on the green side of town, Jetsville, Zach Wilson. This is like a backhanded compliment. Okay. So I'm, you know, it's my job on Mondays. I cut up the AFC and you cut up the NFC. All right. Now we've got two of the premier teams in the AFC playing on Monday Night Football. So this does not include Mac Jones or Josh Allen in the sample, but pending Monday Night Football results, Zach Wilson was the QB2 in the AFC in week 13. And it's not because he had like an awesome game. Okay. He threw for 226 passing yards, 2 touchdowns and threw a pick and he had no rushing yards. So he had 21 fantasy points and he's a QB2 in the AFC, trailing Justin Herbert in his, you know, pretty incredible game. But I mean, this was a good sign. They were able to score some points, you know, put up 20 plus, you know, against Philly. It's not a game that they won. I didn't get the result that they wanted, but signs of life from Zach Wilson, and what sadly one of his better games of the season coming at the right time. What was really encouraging for me is to see his connection with Elijah Moore starting to grow, because Moore had popped with Mike White and Joe Flacco, but had not shown shown us a lot of upside yet with Zach Wilson. But I think Elijah Moore has really developed into such an exciting player in such a short, you know, time window here that even Zach Wilson with a mediocre performance could not hold him down. Moore saw 12 targets, caught 6 balls for 77 and a touchdown. Also added 9 rushing yards on 1 rushing attempt. So, you know, listen, Elijah Moore had a 64% air yard share, 201 air yards. I mean, we talked about him last week. This guy, he can't, I don't know when he's going to stop rising up my dynasty rankings. I mean, he is careening towards bumping guys like DK Metcalf down the board. Honestly, I mean, he's having a remarkable rookie season and, with no quarterback play. So kudos to Elijah Moore and Zach Wilson for working on that. It'd be really interesting to see how they develop over the final month of the season, especially given that, you know, no one else is really providing much threat there. Jameson Crowder, 6 targets, you know, half the work, you know, getting the slot work. I think, you know, rightfully so, being a complementary weapon in that offense instead of a primary like he'd been in prior seasons. And the team, you know, until they get some running back help back there again from Michael Carter, they're going to be forced to really feature more as really their only weapon. So any thoughts to add there on the Jets offense, Dave?
Well, I think that it, like you said, it's very encouraging to see Moore be able to do this with a multiple or with a multitude of quarterbacks really, but also the fact that we saw him do this with Zach Wilson. Very encouraging. They're two players that should have a chance to really put together something over the next couple of seasons. You have to assume they have the leash for that. So I'm not sure if I'm going to have more pushing out DK Metcalf yet, but yes, it is pretty interesting to see what they are doing there. But let's make our way back to the NFC now. I want to highlight a player here that we've mentioned a couple of times, and that is Antonio Gibson, because he has a notable performance this week in that we got to see him have a game in which he was the only back. Well, I shouldn't say the only back, but J.D. McKissic was not involved in this game. He was out dealing with an injury. We saw Antonio Gibson rush 23 times for 88 yards and get 6 targets, 5 receptions, and 23 yards and a receiving touchdown on that workload. Now, the reason that this is notable is that J.D. McKissic becomes an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. This is the preview into what that workload could look like for Gibson if the team does not bring back McKissic or feel the need to add another running back for that profile. We've heard them talk in the past about how they want to get him more involved in all phases of the game, really make him more of a Christian McCaffrey-like player. So this was a good first step in that direction. Pretty encouraging to see Gibson get that work. There will be things there to monitor, but at the very least, we now have a little bit more information of what this team could look like if he's the only back in the, or the only back seeing significant usage in that backfield.
Yeah, it's an encouraging sign. You know, we talked about last week, I think it was Josh Jacobs maybe having a chance of having like the Joe Mixon career arc, right? Where it just takes a little longer than expected. Gibson wouldn't be, you know, that, I guess that delayed. Next year will be his third season. Yeah, but I think there's reason to still hold out hope. You know, hopefully they'll have even better quarterback play in 2022. And with him being more of a raw prospect anyway, not being a pure running back coming into the league, just being really more of a size speed specimen that had some success popping big plays in college. I mean, you can tell yourself a story that would support, you know, a late breakout in the NFL, you know, being okay. So yeah, great opportunity to highlight Gibson there. I want to pop back over to the AFC to the Pittsburgh Steelers and Deontay Johnson. I guess I ruined the bar bet here, but I was going to ask you, could you tell me who the wide receiver one in expected points per game is in 2021?
It's Deontay Johnson.
I don't know if you would have got it. It would have taken me a few guesses maybe to get there. Yeah, and I think after the name was said, maybe I would have said, okay, yeah, that makes some sense. But he just hasn't had, I mean, EP and points scored, you know, obviously are separate metrics, you know, but he just hasn't had like the elite games. He's been so solid every single week, but actually has three wide receiver one performances heading into week 13. Of course, he's going to, you know, that'll be like his fourth consecutive in week 13 now. But before that had been a wide receiver two in six consecutive games, opening the season with a wide receiver three performance at Buffalo. But even in that game, scored 14.6 PPR. Actually, only two times this season has he scored fewer than 15 PPR in a week. And that doesn't even include week five at Denver, where he was injured during that game and only saw two targets. He still scored 15.2 PPR in that game. Wow. So, you know, he's really been in a season that has seen Juju obviously missing from the picture, Chase Claypool really not assert himself as a dependable weapon, unfortunately, just because of the demise of Big Ben. It's been all about Deontay. Pat Freiermuth has been a nice story at tight end and is trending positively towards being, you know, a fantasy force early in his career, I think, for whoever the next quarterback is of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But man, Deontay Johnson is going to go down as one of kind of the unsung heroes of redraft this year, with all the injuries that we saw in the first 4 to 5 rounds of fantasy drafts. You know, he's been a best ball asset. I'd be curious to see what his win rate looks like. Maybe we can pull that for our analytics episode later this week. Not typically something we look at in fantasy metrics there, but I think it'd be interesting if we highlight his on the field metrics and then how that's been translating to best ball. But without those pop games, how is he as a contributor? But in redraft, man, you put him in there. Short of Cooper Kupp, he's probably been the most solid thing out there in the NFL in 2021 at the position.
One of the curious things too is, as you look at his point accumulation, like you said, he's practically been at 15 or more points every week. He has all of his wide receiver one performances being recorded in his last four games, but interestingly actually had a couple of performances, Curtis, where he outscored those amounts. Now some of that is earlier on in the season. You have more players playing, less buys, less players being injured. But yeah, it really speaks to the consistency that he's had. That expected points number is huge. He's fifth in targets overall, still 16th in air yards, 2 in Whopper. There's so much to be excited about. And then you think about looking forward, if you could get a rise up in that quarterback play, what it could look like for Deontay Johnson. One thing is clear, we're probably not going to see Juju returning in Pittsburgh next year. So I think that, Deontay Johnson needs to be one of those players that you're pretty excited about moving forward. And, hopefully, even though he does feel to me like a player that will be able to prosper regardless of who's throwing him the ball, who's running the offense, it'd be awesome to see him play with a real elite passer again at some point.
Yeah, and he's at a stage in his career where you would think he could still do a lot more damage. He seems to have been a tier below, for dynasty purposes, players like, it's still behind players like DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae mm-hmm. Adams and the like, you know, that kind of, age 30 or just below group entering this season. And, you know, he's clearly, I think, going to be ahead of all of those guys entering 2022 startup drafts.
Definitely. So that brings us through our week 13 review. We will be back twice again this week. As always, if you have questions, team-specific questions, league-specific questions, any topics you want us to hit, they can be start-sit questions, anything you have, please let us know. You can get all of that information in the drop I'm about to play, even though I should have this all memorized at this point.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.